All right. I'm on TV. Ooh, how about that? You know, a lot's happened since I was here last. You know, who would have dreamed the last year would have been, or the last year and a half have been all about COVID and things going on in our nation and in personal lives. A lot's changed. You know, we've lost loved ones. My mother-in-law passed away. We've had some dear loved ones that just recently passed away. That used to be a kind of a part of us all as well. So things change and things go on, don't they? And we age each another day. I was telling some of them we had VBS this week, and I love playing with the kids, as part of you know. And so we were playing balloon fights, water balloon fights. So my daughter, who was doing kind of the VBS, she goes, okay, this game's called Release the Pastor. So the pastor took off running, me, and the kids all came after me with water balloons. So I dodged the balloons. I came around the corner. I hit this way, and as my dodging and turning, I realized I wasn't as agile as I used to be, and I ended up on the ground. I about broke my ribs. So if you see me squinge up here, you'll know why. So hopefully they're not cracked. But this morning I wanted to bring to you, first of all, we're going to talk about the wilderness. The wilderness is mentioned in the Bible several times, but when we think of wilderness, what do we think of? You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is Alone, the shows Alone or Alaska or On the Edge, and some of these shows that talks about the wilderness and how beautiful that is. And that's true. The wilderness can be very beautiful, but it's also can be very harsh. If you're a part of that and you go to the wilderness and you soon find out your luxuries are gone. And many times in the Bible, and most times in the Bible, it talks about the wilderness. It's a dry place, and the food of lack of food, lack of, you know, all the things that you're used to. And as I look at some of the stories, you know, we see Jesus, you know, he went to the wilderness for a time, didn't he? And in that time, he went without food and he was tempted. So Jesus went to the wilderness at times. Elijah was in the wilderness in 1 Kings 19, talks about him going to the wilderness and a place of dryness and emptiness. You know, we read the story of Moses. You know, Moses went to the wilderness between the time that he was left Egypt and before he came back to get the people. He was in the wilderness for a time period. And then, of course, we have the wilderness where they were wandering through the wilderness. Israelites were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. So it's a time of many times a time of struggle. Another one before we move on is Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph, how Joseph was... You know, if you want to call him, he was special to his father, but his brothers began to be jealous of him and began to hate him, and they ended up throwing him in a pit and then selling him, and then he got, you know, sold and went to Egypt and became something special in the king's palace, but then was accused of something that he didn't do and ended up back in prison and forgot about in prison for years. So his wilderness was a little bit different, but it was a time of loneliness, a time of wondering what's going to happen. So as we think about that, the wilderness can be a physically dry place. It can be a place of lack of food, lack of people, lack of comforts. But in our lives, wilderness can mean different things, can it? You know, we go through sometimes what I'll call a spiritually dry spell where we don't hear like we're hearing all the time from the Lord. And it's like, Lord, where are you? And that's kind of our own little wilderness. Or we can go through a time as Jesus did of intensified temptation and intensified oppression upon us can be a part of that wilderness that we live in. You know, it can be a lonely time. You know, loss of loved ones, that loneliness of wondering, you know, where are you, Lord? Why am I lonely? Why am I missing these people so much? A feeling of hopelessness or troubled times, financial or relationship or work, you know. And it may be a wilderness of just waiting on God. You know, why is God just, why am I having to wait on God? So this morning I want to look at, if you're a note taker and things, there's going to be about 10 things that we can do or that we can think about as we're in the wilderness. And as we come this morning, you know, many of you may be in a wilderness right now. You can think, oh, man, I can relate to that. I'm missing somebody that I've always been around, or you know, as the... you know, the COVID goes on and goes on. There may be a time of lockdown where that's, again, where we're, that's a wilderness time, isn't it? Because we're isolated and we're away from people that we want to be around and do the things that we want to do. So as we go through life, and we're going to go through wildernesses. So that this first thing is, the first point about the wilderness, everyone goes through a wilderness at some point in their life. And you may be in that wilderness today for some reason. And that wilderness, you know, Jesus went through it, as I mentioned before. So you shouldn't feel guilty if you're going through a wilderness as a Christian, because Christians go through wilderness just as you may think of others go through a time of wilderness. But, you know, what you do in that wilderness is important. Because if you think about it, the Israelites, they left Egypt and they were on a, if you look at the facts of how long it would take them to get from Egypt to the Promised Land, it should have took them no longer than 14 days. And they were there for 40 years in this wilderness. And so while we're in the wilderness, we need to be careful about the decisions we make, and we need to be careful about the things that we put our trust in and the things that we worry about and the things that we feel. We have to be aware of that, because in the wilderness, it's important that we understand that, yeah, I'm there, but it's not the end. And so the Israelites, you know, they did all the complaining as in the story, and they ended up wandering for 40 years in this wilderness. Can you imagine being in a dry spell for 40 years? We can't even wait 5 minutes for a hamburger at McDonald's. And we get all upset if we're waiting that long. So, you know, it's important that as we're going through the wilderness, know that God will get us through the other side, because he's promised that, no matter what that may be. So that was the first one. Everyone will go through a dry season or the wilderness, if you want to call it. The second one is, and this one may be hard to understand, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you into the wilderness. Just as it led Jesus in Matthew 4 into the wilderness for a time, I believe, to pray, to get closer to God, to understand what, you know, truly commit to what he had to set out to do. Sometimes we get led in that same way. So, you know, Matthew 4:1, I want to read that just so you see that. Matthew 4:1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Wow. You know, sometimes we're going to be led by the Spirit to an uncomfortable place that we're going to have to truly rely on God to get us through. And we don't understand that. And sometimes, you know, we wonder why. But, you know, there is a purpose when the Holy Spirit leads us to a place that is uncomfortable for us. I think it's a time for us to be able to grow and to put more trust in God and to gain closeness to him. You know, in Deuteronomy 8, listen to this. It says, Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 1, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land and land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." And here's the verse, here's the piece I want you to listen to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. It says, "Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as man chastens his son, so the Lord will chasten you." Pretty powerful words, isn't it? That God allowed them to go through that wilderness. Why? To test them, to know what there was in their hearts, and to challenge, and it goes on to whether you would keep his commandments, to challenge him to keep the commandments. You know, one of the things as the Israelites did, and we read about that manna, they had to truly rely on God while they were in the wilderness to be fed. And when we're in the wilderness, we got to realize, you know, that brings us to the realization that God is the one that provides for us. You know, God is the one. You know, I don't know if many of you probably have. You know, I've been laid off in my life before and wondered, why am I getting laid off? Every review I had was great. Everything was perfect. You know, my job, I loved it. I was all this. And in the past, I was let go from a company and said, we don't need you anymore. And, you know, if you've ever been done that, you wonder, what did I do wrong? Well, it may be nothing that you did wrong. You just happen to be a number on a book someplace, and they needed that number back. But it was God that was still in control that allowed you to be laid off so that you could truly trust Him to get through that time in your life. And because we as humans, we want to control ourselves, don't we? We want the control. We want everything in our lives to be just like we want it. You know, I don't know why I keep using food reference, but, you know, you go through McDonald's, you want your meal to be just right. You want it in 2 minutes, and you want to be able to drive out without anybody in front of you. That's the way we're raised in today's society. But life is not always like that, and life can't be perfect all the time. So just, you know, keep that in mind as you're in the wilderness. You know, the other thing in the wilderness is that, you know, be careful about, God has led you there. Be careful about your feelings, about what you're feeling, because sometimes our feelings can mislead us. When we're in the wilderness, we need to know the facts of what God says. You know, we need to read the scriptures. You know, Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yo, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and my staff, they comfort me." That's talking about that valley of shadow of death is that wilderness period in our lives. And we got to realize that God leads us through that. And Philippians 4:19 comes right on the heels of that and says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." So whether you're in the wilderness financially, whether you're in the wilderness because you're missing someone, you're lonely, you're isolated, you don't know what's going to, the future holds, God holds that future for us. And we got to truly trust Him and rely on Him and not rely on our emotions. God gave us our emotions, but He also wants us to know how what our emotions are doing and saying. So when our emotions think, "Woe is me, life is going to die," we've got to turn back to what the God promises in Scripture and says, "No, I'm going to supply all your needs, and I'm going to supply your future." And if, you know, if God so desires to take me home when I'm sick and I feel like I'm dying and woe is me, but if God decides to take you home, then He's got greater things in store for you. But if He decides to leave you here, He's got greater things in store for you from where you're at as well. Amen. So the future is unlimited of what God does. So as you know, God, you know, everybody goes through it. We are sometimes led there. And I think this one is really important for us to remember. When we're in the wilderness, whether it's a spiritually dry spell or just a time of life going on that we don't enjoy, we got to remember that God's silence is not His absence. You know, because just because you can't hear from God doesn't mean He is not right there with you. It may be a time when He is just allowing you to test you, to say, "Are you truly trusting me?" And sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. And we do have to wait on the Lord in times, don't we? Because sometimes we will be praying for something and we think, "Well, God, this has to be Your will. It has to be Your will for this prayer to come true." And in life, you know, our time is now. Well, God's time may not be today, but it may be tomorrow. And as we're waiting on God, we got to remember that He is still in control. He is still on the throne of heaven and on earth, and He still takes control, and He's still right there with us. You know, I think a good example of this is, if you remember being in school, and Ronnie, I know it's a long time back for you to remember being in school, but remember being in school, and you go in, and it's test day. And you go in and you sit down and you take your test and you sit in your chair and you look up at your teacher, and Mrs. Smith is up there. I don't know if you remember Mrs. Smith, my first grade teacher, by the way. And then you remember you're sitting in class, and they hand out the test. He or she hands out the test, and that teacher becomes silent. And you're sitting there and you have to remember everything that you have been taught. And as you're sitting there, you're thinking, and you think, I don't know this answer. And you raise your hand and the teacher goes, but the teacher's silent, is it? Doesn't mean the teacher's not there. It's just that the teacher wants you to remember what she has just taught you the previous week. And sometimes God's the same way. He wants us to remember what he's done for us and what he's taught us and what we read in his scripture, to remember that, to pull that back into our life, to be apply it to the situation in the wilderness. So God's silence is not always his absence. So as you think about that, think about, what have I learned in the past? And sometimes we need to prepare to be in the wilderness, don't we? Sometimes that, even though we're not in the wilderness today, tomorrow we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have any idea what's going to happen in this world. We don't have any idea what's going to happen in the nation, in our lives, in our friends' lives. So how do you prepare for being in the wilderness? You know, you hear a lot of people prepping now. You hear the word preppers. You know, some of you may be preppers. Some of you may have a bunker in your backyard. And if you do, raise your hand. I want to know, because I may want to come there. But a lot of us prep for things, don't we? And we should be prepared for different things, right? You know, it's important to know, you know, if we lose power tomorrow, what am I going to do? I mean, there's nothing. God doesn't tell us to be not ready. He wants us to be ready for what life has in store for us as much as we can. And it's the same way with being in the wilderness. He wants us to know as much about his word and about him. So when you go through a wilderness period, you will know that he's still there. You will remember the 23rd Psalm about, you know, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Thou art with me. There are my rod and my staff. So we need to prepare for that wilderness. We need to prepare for that time, just as we would prepare for a test in school or in work situations. We prepare for tests all of our lives, don't we? Whether it's a driver's test, whether it's a truck driver's test, or an electrician's test, or a food maintenance test, we prepare because there's tests throughout our lives. And sometimes we neglect so much to prepare for our spiritual tests in life, and we come into those, and sometimes we fail those, and we learn from those, don't we? Because we don't remember right off, and sometimes somebody, it takes, God sends somebody in and helps remind us that God's still there. And that's important too. So, you know, as God's silence doesn't mean his absence, as we're around other Christians, you know, we are his hands and feet in the world. And we need, when we see somebody going through a wilderness time in their life, a rough time in their life, we need to be reaching out to them and say, hey, can I help you? Because we may be the ones that God wants to reach out to those people. Because we have gone through what they're going through. We have gone through, you know, a loss of a loved one. We've gone through a loss of a child. We've gone through a loss of a parent, or we've gone through a financial loss or a job loss. And we understand what we had to do through that time to get through it. And we need to be able to reach out to those around us to help them as well. So God's silence is not his absence. The next one is, if you're going through the wilderness, and this may seem silly, kind of silly, but if you're going through the wilderness, keep going. Don't stop. What would have happened if the Israelites would have said, I'm done. I'm just going to sit right here, and they're going to be there. They would have probably all died in the wilderness because they wouldn't have followed God's plan. And, you know, God says, right there's your promised land. And, you know, we've even seen this once. He said, right there's your promised land. Well, they didn't believe it, did they? So the next generation had to go in the promised land around the back door, right? So as we are going through the wilderness, never give up. You know, God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to keep going and keep going on. You know, don't stay in the wilderness. Don't think that you're going to be your home forever. Don't think that the hard time you're living in is all you're going to get out of this life, because God wants our life to be fulfilled and full of him in it. And if you're going through a dry spell, it's just a dry spell. You got to keep going as we keep going. And the other one is, another one here is, remember not to use suffering not to serve. Just because you're suffering right now, God doesn't want you to quit serving the church, serving your neighbors, serving the people. You know, Joseph, just think about Joseph for a minute. Joseph, if you put yourself in Joseph's life, thinking about, and he was thrown in a pit, and he thought, what is going on with my life now? Then he was taken out of the pit, and he was sold. So, you know, his emotions were going up and down. Well, my brothers are taking me out. Oh, no, now I'm being sold. And then he gets into to Potiphar's house and part of the royalty up there, right? And he's accused of something that he didn't do. And he gets thrown into prison. But he didn't stop. He served God while he was in prison, didn't he? He used the gifts that God gave him of interpreting dreams and interpreting them of the people that was in prison. And when they got out of prison, they didn't remember him for a long time, did they? But he kept on serving God while he was in prison. Just as Paul was in, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul was thrown in prison and beat many times. He never quit serving God in those times. And to me, that would be an ultimate wilderness to be beat and be thrown into prison because I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm teaching about God. And that would be a time of a big wilderness period. But he didn't stop serving while he was being done that, did he? He kept writing the script. He kept writing the books that we have from prison. He kept ministering to people. And so should we. Even though that we're going through a rough time, we need to still serve others and encourage others. Because when we're serving and encourage others, that gives us our own blessing itself. And we need to remember that. So, you know, if you look at Job prayed for others. And just think of all the things that Job went through, but he still prayed for those around him. He still trusted God, still served God while his suffering was going on. So we need to keep serving as we're there. You know, another one, and this is kind of a practical one, but there's a biblical reference here that I think is true to this, is take care of yourself physically while you're going through this. You know, God gave you the body that you have, and he wants you to take care of it. He wants you to do the very best with what he has given you. And Elijah was told to eat and sleep by an angel when he was out in the wilderness. In 1 Kings 19, there's a story about Elijah. He wanted to give up, and the angel came to him, and he said, I want you to eat and sleep. And we need to do that. We need to learn, as we're in this wilderness, you know, we're going to feel all these anxieties, all this worry, all this stuff going on in our lives. But God wants us to take care of ourselves. And, you know, a practical, we need to learn how to make sure we're eating right, continuing to eat. We need to continue to learn to sleep. We need to continue. Sometimes we just need to unhook from the world for a little bit and just truly reach out to God and have conversations with him. It's important for us to take care of that. And then number nine, well, I'm off on my numbers here, but another one is be careful about making decisions in the wilderness. Be careful about making permanent decisions in the wilderness for quick fixes. You know, a lot of times that when we're in the wilderness, and this goes back to, you know, the one where that we talked about, if our emotions and we need to trust the facts. You know, a lot of times when we're in the wilderness, at least when I'm in the wilderness, when I'm down, what do I want to do? I want to go eat a chocolate bar. I want to go eat candy. I want to eat a pop. I want to do all this for that emotional, you know, whatever it does to your body when you eat chocolate. If you like chocolate, if you don't like chocolate, strawberries or whatever it may be, but you want to eat to fulfill that need. So be careful about that. You know, be careful about going out and buying something new or something that you don't have when you're down, depressed, because that has impacts last your entire life. Be careful about when you're, you know, a lot of compulsive buying is because we're in a low part in our life. And we just need to, we go out and we think that's going to fix us. You know, if we look at the world, The world says you need this to make you feel better. You need this to make you feel better. You need a new car. You need a new phone. You need a new house. You need, you know, a new hairdo. You need this makeup. You need that shirt. You know, you need these socks or pants or whatever. Those are quick fixes that have emotionally, that makes you feel, oh, I feel great now. And then the next day it's like, oh man, I spent that money and I still in the down in the dumps. So we got to be careful about making permanent decisions in the wilderness when we're having a spiritually dry spell or an emotional or we're lonely, because God is there with us. He wants to be the fix. He doesn't want the new car to be the fix or the new boat or the new whatever it is to be the new fix. So we got to be careful about that. There's a story in 1 Samuel 4:19. I wanted to read this because it's kind of funny, kind of not funny. If you're the kid, it's not funny. But it says, now the daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was a child due to be delivered. She had a child. So she was a pregnant lady. She was getting ready to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of the God was captured, so there was in battle and the ark was captured and her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains became upon her. And about that time of her death, the woman who stooped down said to her, do not fear, you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regret it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel, because the Ark of the Covenant had been captured because of the father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from the Israel, for the Ark of the Covenant had been captured. So she named the child Ichabod, which means the without glory. Now, if you're that kid, how would you like to grow up all your life knowing that your mom named you Ichabod because of the events that went on in her, what was happening then? And Ichabod without glory, you know, as a child, and my name means without glory, that would be devastating for all my life. That was a decision that she made in a bad time for her that impacted her child's life the rest of her life. I know that's kind of an extreme stretch, but we do have to be careful about making decisions when we're in a low part of our life. We need, you know, when we're in that low part of our life, if we're ready to make a big decision, we need to make sure that we're really in tune with God and what He wants us to decide. So we've got to be careful about that. And then the final one here is, you know, God may lead us in there, but He's leading us in there for a purpose. And if he's the one leading us in there, He's leading us in there for a purpose. Sometimes we just get ourselves in the wilderness and we got to get, you know, work that. But sometimes He leads us, but you know, he is trying to develop patience with us. He's trying to develop trust in Him, more of those things. You know, one of the things Satan loves to do is to see impatient Christians. And you know, Satan wants us to make quick decisions and make bad decisions, and he tries to tear us down, doesn't he? You know, a lion, you know, it talks about the, you know, Satan, the lion, he's prowls around to jump on us. A lion has a small heart, and a lion's stamina is very short. He can run very fast, but he can't run for a very long time. And as Christians, we need to be better than lions. We need to be able to run the long race that God's called us to be, and not just a little short race. Because we know, you know, there's many battles in life, but and we may lose some of those, but we know the war is won by what Christ did for us and dying on the cross for us. And our duty is to make that run race long. You know, even James, in James chapter 1, says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of it of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in his ways. God wants us to rely on him, doesn't he? He wants us to truly trust him, to truly ask for him. You know, as a parent and a grandparent, don't you love giving your kids and grandkids something? You know, and if you don't have any kids or grandkids, don't you love giving, you know, somebody something when they need it? If somebody asks you for something and you can fulfill that need, don't you love that? Being able to help them. And I use little kids because that's where I'm at with life now, is my little grandkids. And I love giving them things that mommy looks at me and says, their mommies looks at me and says, what are you thinking? I'm saying, I know, but it's great to give them that. So, you know, God, I think God's that way. He loves to give us things that we truly cherish and truly love. But sometimes we have to ask for those. And sometimes he leads us to the wilderness to want us to ask for help. And because when we ask for help, we're coming to him and saying, hey, I rely on you, Lord. I rely only on you. So as we close, you know, whether you're going through the wilderness now or whether your life is going perfect, we have to trust God in all those situations. We have to give him the credit. We have to give him the dedication. We have to give him the love that's due him, you know, because, you know, wilderness times are hard, and we all go through those, and hopefully through those we all can grow. So today, you know, I encourage you, if you're going through one, keep going. He's going to get you through it, the spiritually dry spell. He's going to get you through the hard times in life. He's going to get you through the loneliness, the hopeless feelings, the troubles. He's going to get you through all those if we truly trust him. And it's important for us to truly trust him, because not only does that help us, but that we are an example to those around us. And if we call ourselves Christians and we're not trusting God, how are we going to show that to our kids? How are we going to show that to our neighbors? That, hey, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I don't need God. You know, that we can't do that. We've got to truly trust God in all things, in all ways of our lives. So as we close this morning, you know, if you're going through a rough time, just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've tried to do this wilderness thing myself. I keep getting in deeper and deeper. I need to hand it over to you. I need to let you handle it. And you know, if you're, you know, the first step, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step of getting out of the true wilderness into his love, is trusting him as your Lord and Savior, asking him to save you and forgive you for your sins, because if he died on the cross for us and he was raised again.